I'm Nana van Tilburg for BizNews.com. If you have a parent or grandparent who were employed by the British Crown Service, you may now be entitled to a British passport. That's one of the routes open to South Africans to become a British national. And we have Michelle Patel, Director of Sable International's Citizen and Immigration Division, to explain what it all means. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for joining us. Well, before we explore this route, can we go back to the roadshow that Sable International held in South Africa, where people could come to speak to you about their eligibility for British nationality through the maternal line, which has recently opened. What was the reaction like?
Hi, Linda. Yeah, no, thanks for having me back. The roadshow was about 3 weeks long. We went through different parts of South Africa. We started with, you know, Johannesburg, Pretoria, Durban, and ended up in Cape Town. And, you know, it was well received. We saw about, I would say, 90-95% of people who came within the first day of them coming. So that was quite good not to have queues. But no, well received, lovely people, friendly place. And yeah, lots of claims now that, you know, as you rightfully said, the maternal line side has opened up for the first time in probably what is 50 to 100 years in terms of nationality law.
Can you give us some numbers? Were there many people eligible for this?
Sure. So I think personally, I'm one or two in every five people that I saw had a claim to British citizenship. But yes, it was more in line with the rule change that happened on the 28th of June this year, which basically is, in a nutshell, was where the UK government have now got a section in their British nationality law that allows us to argue that had there been no sort of historical legislative unfairness in the British nationality laws or any UK immigration laws, that it would give rise to the applicant being a British citizen. So one of the most common ways that I saw that was someone born in South Africa in a certain time period when South Africa had left the Commonwealth and had a paternal or maternal grandmother born in the UK. Traditionally, we would have said to that kind of person, oh, you can only come in and get citizenship based on an ancestry visa. Because, you know, your relevant parent couldn't claim it through their own mom, being the grandmother. Whereas now you can argue that had the dad been British or had the mom been British through their relevant mothers, then the child could have been registered at the consulate, which is something that men could always do as long as the man was British at the time the child was born in that foreign country. But here you have an argument that my mom or dad couldn't be British because they couldn't claim it from their mom. But had they been, they could have registered me. And so it goes on. So yeah, so we saw quite a few of those.
Well, let's get to UK citizenship if you worked for the Crown Service. Well, first of all, define Crown Service.
Yeah, so Crown Service in layman terms would immediately give you a thought of someone in a military uniform, you know, sort of marching around part of the British Army. But not quite, because Crown Service for the purposes of British nationality, as it's defined, can cover situations where you get civil servants. So, for example, civil servants who are sent over from the UK, recruited here, sent into southern Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, that would also cover or come under Crown Service. You know, it is a different type of Crown Service that we call designated service, but it amounts to the same effect, which is it allows British nationality to go two generations from the person who performed that Crown Service. In most cases, you'll find that to be the grandfather. It's quite rare that it's the grandmom, for example.
What kind of jobs would that be? You said it's not only jobs in the military.
Correct. So not necessarily part of the army. It could be, and we saw a few examples of this on this roadshow. I had at least about two or three families whose relevant paternal grandfather or maternal grandfather, I can't quite remember, were actually teachers. So they had been recruited from the UK in the 60s and 70s and sent over, or they accepted the job to teach in southern Rhodesia in the government schools in Harare, Chingola, which is now northern Rhodesia, and so on. So when they teach in these schools, they worked under the educational department, basically. They weren't in private schools. These are government schools that they were teaching in. They then fell under the definition of Crown Service as civil servants or service performed in a country where the UK is responsible for. Hence, it was okay to then be under Crown service. Now, that's just one of them. The more rare ones are postmasters, would you believe? So the UK was flooding Southern Rhodesia during those times with even postmasters, people that worked for the Post and Telegraph Department, would you believe? And that would also work. And I think the biggest one, and the most common one, Linda, that I've seen is British South African Police. Now, that was a bigger one when you compare them to other functions. And the British South African Police, quite a few. You know, when people left World War II and they were young, and these lads were quite young people, probably didn't finish education, drafted into the army, they came out of the World War II, didn't really get jobs in England, but they did see the posters everywhere saying, hey, join the police force in Southern Rhodesia, great life. And off these young people went. And that also forms part of the definition under Crown service.
So I hear you mention Rhodesia quite a lot. So is there a specific date that it goes back to?
Not really. I mean, the most common dates. So a typical family tree from our recent roadshow would be the applicant who's trying to claim citizenship being born in the period after 1983 or 1983 onwards. Okay. And the relevant parent born just before, so in the 50s or 60s, in say Southern Rhodesia, in this particular example, and their father having been recruited in the UK, for example, the British South African Police, and sent over to Southern Rhodesia and performed their or his service in the 50s and 60s into the 70s, some of them did, while Southern Rhodesia was going through those changes. Because you see, unlike other parts of Africa or what was then the UK, Northern Rhodesia, Malawi, you know. Southern Rhodesia seems to be quite unique, which is why it attracted a lot of those civil servants. And I say that because it seems to be not gone quite to plan with the UK government having to step in even after they granted independence to Southern Rhodesia in the 1949 period. You know, South Africa was quite stable, whereas Southern Rhodesia wasn't quite stable after independence, as you know, from many regimes changes as well, like the UDI, for example. So the UK did have to step in and control external affairs. And one way it did that was sending, to keep the country running, sending the civil servants from the UK.
Granddads and fathers. So again, not mothers.
Yes. Yes. So the new law would allow us to argue a grandmother being in Crown service at the time the relevant parent was born. So it can be the mom. So it can be the maternal grandfather in Crown service at the time the mom was born. Because you see, for Crown service to give citizenship, through two generations, the generation claiming it must be born post 83 or after the 1st January 1983. That's when the law allowed that applicant to claim Crown service through the relevant grandparent. And that can come down mum and dad. That's fine. It's just was never seen coming down the grandmother. So it always was the maternal grandfather or the paternal grandfather, rather than the paternal grandmother, so the father's mother or the mother's mother, for example, which now can be argued as of the 28th of June, 2022. It's just rare that I still haven't seen an example of that where a grandmother has all the paperwork saying she was in Crown service when her children were born, and now the grandchildren want to claim it.
Oh, okay, so the women might not have been in the police or army, but they might have been teachers.
Correct, which is one example that I did see. And the other one, which I'm not too sure that works, so I've got to go look into it, is also a lot of these people would have come over as nurses. Now, that was really more female orientated and perhaps arguably still is to some degree. So, yeah.
So if there are South Africans or Zimbabweans who want to find out whether they might be eligible, you do also offer a free online assessment before they engage in your services.
Correct. So they must go on to www.sableinternational.com and they'll find the nationality section on the right-hand side and there'll be a free assessment button. So it's called a free status trace. And basically what that is the system will prompt that person to fill in as much detail as they can of their family tree, so where they're born, where the parents are born, where all four of the grandparents are born. It will then prompt them to answer questions like, do you know if there was Crown service for your granddad? Did your parents ever live in the UK, etc., etc.? And then what it does is quite clever because there's a framework of probably what is 250,000 rules that sit behind it. And as soon as you fill in all the accurate data, it works out what could potentially be your claim to citizenship. And if you've answered yes to Crown Service, then that would show up as a potential claim with a little explanation. So at the end of that, you'll get a free status trace report confirming your chances of eligibility. Just so if it's going to be unlikely, then you'd rather just not spend your money.
So do you have to have old documents from your grandparents?
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. I mean, you see, sometimes, and this happened to me whilst I was seeing people one-to-one there, you know, we saw a few hundred people there every day. But this exactly what happened is they had the theory, and in theory they did qualify. But to prove it is a whole different beast, isn't it? Because yes, you're absolutely right. The passport office would want to see original documentation. They would want to see, you know, length of service covering the relevant parents' date of birth, which is one of the criteria. So my granddad just can't be in World War II and then having left, then my father was born or my mother was born. That's not good enough. The length of service must cover the relevant parents' date of birth. Not to mention that, but they also want to see recruitment having taken place in the UK for that service. So it's not as good as just, oh, my granddad or my dad's side was working for the British South African Police when my parent was born. But I now need to also prove that he was sent out from the UK. So you're going to need that proof as well. Now, it's scary when you think of how far back you have to go. But through years of doing this, we've learned a few tricks. We've found a few places. We have a few contacts. And, you know, some of this material is online. If you know where to look, it does take a while. So we can then guide the client on where they can look for that information. But the simple answer is yes, you do need the actual evidence, or at least some evidence pointing to that being the case.
Well, the good thing about the UK government, it goes back very far and it keeps records. It's good at that. It's just finding the right way to dig it up. At least there would be a record somewhere.
Correct. I think it's, a lot of people get frustrated because they don't know where to go. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that they don't have the time. They just don't know exactly who to contact and where. And, you know, how much is it going to cost them? And is it worth it? Because the worst thing you can do, in my opinion anyway, is put someone on a, you know, sort of wild goose chase looking for information that really is not relevant and won't change their stars. But, you know, that's exactly why that we have that initial advisory service where you don't really have to pay the full hog until you know it works and you can hear it from the horse's mouth that yes, this is good enough. So, you know, the idea here is let's not commit to something that's going to cost a lot of money and time until we have A to Z of everything we need, which is why we have quite a few. So we've got a free assessment, then you've got the consultation with myself or my team where we can look at the documents, we can have these calls, really get to the meat of it, and then we put in the offer of service at the end of that, because now we're both convinced it's going to work. If anyone's listening to this, you know, if you do have any indication of your relevant grandparent performing any self-service, if you're unsure whether it falls under Crown Service, you're not too certain, please just reach out and at least we can give you some indication. Don't leave it too sort of late before things change again and it becomes more difficult, as it usually becomes every other year. Thank you so much.
Michel Patel from Sable International, you are clearly very knowledgeable on this topic. Thanks for speaking to us.
Pleasure, Linda. As always, can't wait for the next time.